I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the second guest show. I'd like to tell you, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, we're live from the Silver Slipper Casino beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 6:30 tonight, and then we'll throw it to our Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Mike Hoss as the host. Tonight we'll have on with him Saints head coach Dennis Allen, and his guest tonight will be wide receivers coach Keith Williams. And then right afterwards, Monday Night Football right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app. The Seattle Seahawks play the Detroit Lions. Bob, we've talked about it yesterday and then again today. Man, a tough loss for the Saints, 26-24 with a game. You had an opportunity to win. When you don't give up any touchdowns, you know, on the defensive side of football, you should win games. You only gave up one last week, so in two games, you've given up one offensive touchdown, lose the game 26-24, but comes down to the two turnovers that turned into touchdowns for Atlanta.
Well, no, we're not good enough to give Atlanta a 14 points. I mean, and look, that game, and considering all the injuries and all, we were better than the Falcons. But your record is what it is. Right now, I think it's going to come back to haunt us. You look what happened in the Eagles. Look what happened against Atlanta. I would say by what occurred the last 2 weeks would be one reason why we don't have a chance to get to 10 wins. And at best, we would be 8-9, 9-8, same song and dance. That's what I said. No, it was unbelievable. Rashid Shaheed is too good. He's all pro. You're going to feel the punt inside the 5-yard line, around the 2-yard line. I mean, did he have a brain fart or what? I mean, what are you doing? Now, I mean, it seems like only the Saints this would occur. You look at sometimes we are part of positive history, but we surely are part of a lot of negative NFL history. If you look at the Saints, did not allow an offensive touchdown, and they became the first NFL team since 1983, Saints, to lose a game in which they scored at least 24 points without allowing an offensive touchdown. Now think about that. Mike, I was playing in the Michigan Panthers, United States Football League, so 1983. But if you look at, did not allow an offensive touchdown and became the first NFL team since 83 to lose a game in which you score at least 24 points and you don't allow offensive touchdown, you don't win. Now, if you look at point differential, how you win games, now it's skewed because of how we crushed Dallas and really Carolina. But New Orleans has now scored 127 points through four games against 70 points scored by their opponents. So, you know, you talk about scoring offense, scoring defense. Their plus 57 scoring differential through 4 weeks is one of the better marks, to say the least, in recent seasons across the league. You would think, like, man, if you'd have told me in August after four games going to be plus 57 in the point of differential, I said, we're going to be undefeated. Well, at worst, 3-1. Are we going to be 4-0? Now, Mike, you look when the NFL started and all that. The bad part also, you go dating back to 1920. That's over a century. As the NFL is just starting. The Saints are now the first team to outscore opponents by that much during their first four games and not have a winning record to show for it. That's a lot of NFL history. Then you look, there have been 184 teams in NFL history to outscore opponents by a combined score of 55 or more points through 4 weeks, and we had plus 57. More than half of those teams got off to a 4-0 start. That's why if you'd have told me that one thing, oh, the Saints are going to be undefeated, we're going to be on a roll, and we're going to feel good about ourselves like we did after 2-0, after we waxed the Cowgirls, we're going to be 4-0. Now, the only 1981, the Buffalo Bills came close. They started out 2-2 despite owning a plus 54 scoring differential. Now, we were at plus 57. So, Mike, it's just, you know, I always pay attention to the numbers. And I said, damn it, it's like you snake bit. The freaking Saints are involved in this. And I'm just telling you, I am discouraged what happened against Philadelphia and Atlanta, because when you're going to – I don't even care what happens on Monday night against the Chiefs. Now, Tampa Bay is going to end up turning out to be like it's a must-win. You know, we said Carolina was a must-win to kick off the season. Well, you can't be, you know, chasing Tampa where they're at. Mike, now, you could have had a little leeway, a lot of confidence going forward because it's 2-for-1, not beating Atlanta. But that, to me, is even worse than Philadelphia. Philadelphia is bad enough because it's a conference loss. But then a division loss and how you lost. If you'd have told anybody, let's say you or Luke or Charlie, all of us, you're a Saints fan. And it just tell you this. The Saints will not allow the Falcons to score a touchdown.
And the Eagles just won.
Yeah, when you say, well, we're winning. But especially no touchdowns, Mike, especially this day and age, the rules are the Saints are going to win. But you can't give them 14 points. You can't, and then you know what? It comes with the territory. Who's going to get the blame? The quarterback and the coach. And, maybe we don't have the right head coach or we don't have the right quarterback. And that just comes with the territory because you have to be able to finish games. Look how ugly, and it's like, if the Chiefs are down by 10 points, you think the Chiefs are worried? Or you think like the Chiefs are going to come back. They're going to come back. Look how ugly they've played. Pat Mahomes, he's not having nothing magical.
The defense has carried them for 4 weeks.
But Mike, they're 4-0.
Exactly.
They're 4-0. So you just got to win. However it works out. And we're going to elaborate more what occurred in the game.
To me, in this, 46% of the touches in this game, Alvin Kamara as a runner and a receiver. With that type of deal, Alvin's not going to last the season. I get it. Taysom goes down
after
with an
injury. After the first half, yeah.
What Williams got? 3 carries in the game?
He had 2 in the Falcons game. He had 1 against the Eagles, so 3 in 2 games.
Okay. And all this load on Alvin, he's playing with cracked ribs.
Man, they don't trust Jamal Williams.
No.
Jamal Williams supposed to be a touchdown maker. We have 1st and goal on the 5-yard line. Come on, Jamal. I know you dance before the game in front of the crowd and all that. You get the crowd involved. How about you kick ass on the field? Now, the Saints got to get him opportunities. Maybe they don't trust him. But you know who they do trust, but he got hurt in the first half, is Taysom Hill. Now, this is not an opinion. Taysom Hill, he looked to the Saints. In New Orleans average, when Taysom's in the game, this is against Atlanta. They average 6.7 yards per play when Taysom Hill's on the field, and they just average 4.1 when he's not on the field. So, Mike, it's basically like almost double when you think about that. And the Saints average 6.1 yards per carry because, we end up averaging 4 yards a carry with 33 attempts. But the Saints average 6.1 yards per carry with Taysom Hill, and without him, 2.6. You don't think Taysom Hill makes a difference? Now, I don't know how you can keep him healthy and all that. It just, I don't know how we pound Taysom Hill in the goal line and he scores. We should be able to do that with Jamal Williams or get him off the team. I mean, maybe the one reason why the Lions, I don't know, didn't sign him. I mean, we're giving him like $4 million or whatever, contribute, especially his 1st and goal at the 5-yard line. And when all said and done, we go forward on 4th down, we're on the 7-yard line. We're going backwards instead of going forwards. I know the offensive line was banged up, but look at the beginning. The same offensive line, Taysom Hill, puts it in the end zone.
But when you watch the offensive line play, and Trevor had a difficult game, Matt Judon, man, every play.
But we did good in the interior.
But interior, you look at it, man, okay, you got a center playing. Shane Lemieux never played in an NFL game as a center. And how well he played. Landon Young has always played on the tackle spot. You kick him inside to guard. That really wasn't the deficiency of this team.
No, I
thought it would be a much bigger impact than what happened.
Because when you look at the impact, I thought, I'm worried about the offensive line. But it's not like they sacked Carr 5 times. No, the offensive line that did their job overall, and especially those guys in the interior, And then I look, oh, you had the captain of defense. DeMario Davis is not playing.
Then Willie and then Tyron goes down. Willie Gay goes down.
Tyron goes down. I don't know, but they still didn't score a touchdown. How did we lose the game? Because you might. It wasn't like you could say, and I could live with, well, man, they burned this because we didn't have all hands on deck. We got our butt kicked in the trenches. But no, the guys that replaced the guys that were injured, that was not the case.
One guy, and you hate to play him. We were talking about, Tommy and I were talking about.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This Friday and again this morning, Tyler Allgeier. Man, when he answers the bell against the Saints, he has really been a guy that's put up some really good yardage.
Well,
we'll talk a lot more about Tyler. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to bring that up as we go into the break because I talked to Steve Geller. You know, you could say Bijan Robinson and all.
But Tyler was the guy yesterday.
No. When they had a point, Mike, when they were going to give him the rock, and all of a sudden, how was he running the ball? He had, like, runs plus seven. He got like plus 10, plus 12. No, he was gashing them and breaking tackles.
It's just his style of runner. He's a shortcut runner, power, north-south. He's not going to give you a lot of east-west, and also he catches the ball pretty well coming out of the backfield. We'll be back with more Second Guess. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi, right after this break. We're on the Second Guest Show. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside, right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Got a nice crowd here today. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 6:30 tonight before we throw it to our Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Let's go to Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Hollywood and Thibodeau. Hollywood, you're in the huddle with Mike and Bob.
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Mike. How y'all doing?
All right, Hollywood.
All right, Hollywood. I know you're heading to Kansas City on Monday night. Is that a road trip you've been planning or what?
You want to eat some barbecue over there. That's what he want to do.
Hey, Mike, we're just going to eat the good food at the tailgate. I heard they got
Hey, I got you.
And I'm talking about planning a trip. I've never seen a bunch of places. I'm going on 65, and I want to go there and go to those old mountains and go to Branson and play some golf in the mountains and stuff like that. The Kansas City game just popped up, and the Saints just happened to play them on Monday night. So that's why we're going to that game, and that's my birthday present. So.
That's great.
You know what? Great birthday present. If you talk about outdoor football stadiums, I think Arrowhead is number one.
Bobby's always said it's the loudest place he's ever played in.
No, the reason why I said it was the loudest because it was so loud when we were warming up. I go, the game didn't even start. And I said, man, we better jump on the Chiefs quick or the crowd's going to be in the game and then you're having to scream to call the play in the huddle and all that. No, that's when Steve DeBerg was playing. The Chiefs weren't any good then. So we jumped on him and then – nothing to cheer about. But I tell you what, I never, like, you know when you're touching your toes and doing jumping jacks and all that and you warm up before the game, they were like the tomahawk chop. It all was gone and like, and they were going. I said, man, the game didn't even start. And they all, you know, there was an early arriving crowd into the stadium even though they were tailgating. You know, sometimes Saints fans, okay, you want to tailgate, and they might show up at the end of the first quarter. And, you know, they might miss the kickoff or whatever. Well, the Chiefs fans, what I can recall, now it's the 90s, you know, they were in their seats, and they were loud. And Mike, and you go through the tunnel, go to the locker room, and they were telling you all kind of stuff.
I remember you telling me just how loud it is. What you got for us, Hollywood?
Yeah, listen to what I'm telling you. I watch a lot of Saints games through my career, and the Saints will upset the Chiefs in Kansas City on national TV, and we'll get our recognition back because we had two tough losses. And like I told y'all yesterday, I said we're going to play Tampa Bay at a Superdome, and we're going to be at 4-2. Hey, Bob, you got to have confidence in the team, even though we banged up. What y'all say about Taysom Hill? Will he play this week? Too early to tell or what?
Oh, it's way too early to tell about it, but man, he hurts one side, then he hurts the other side.
Well, if he's going to be if something's lingering as far as the injury, I'd rather him be ready to roll for Tampa Bay.
I agree.
No, you would want now, I'm just telling you, you have to look at the importance of a game. And you don't want something you're dealing as a player with something week in and week out, game in and game out, where you're not ready to roll. Because now you're always going to be beat up, but now there's different levels of being beat up and how you could be the closest to like 100%. And so to me, now you want to win at Kansas City on Monday night, but I think I'd rather have Taysom Hill ready to roll in the dome against Tampa Bay.
And think about what Alvin, 19 carries yesterday and 7 catches. So that's 26 touches.
Yeah, 26 touches.
Almost 120 yards total offense.
Yeah.
Now he's got, you know, 2 buckets of water to carry now. And they full if no Taysom Hill.
Well, Jamal Williams, no Taysom Hill, then Jamal Williams got to help out Alvin Kamara because he's dealing with the ribs.
You would hope so. Thanks so much for the call, Hollywood. We appreciate it. Let's go back to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Roger in Metairie. Roger, in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, Bobby and Mike, how you guys doing?
All right, Roger.
What you got, Roger?
Hey, guys, look, as much as I love this team, man, and just hear me out, and I'll hang up and listen to your response. I've gotten to the point now to where I don't even want to hear people say we have a good defense. We have a decent defense, and here is why. I'm dating this all the way back to when Tom Brady was still with the Tampa Bay Bucks, his last season when – we had that team shut down. It was a crucial game, and we could not hold in a clutch situation. This defense did the same thing last week against Philadelphia. It's done the same thing again yesterday. And the fact is, and we have to figure this out, or we're not winning anything. This defense cannot win in a clutch. Now, it's sad that we can't beat Kirk Cousins. We just can't beat this guy, man.
And a pass rush. We didn't get a pass rush. I mean, the thing about the one who Peyton Turner got a sack. Well, where's Chase Young? I know you can have quarterback hurries, quarterback hits. Like, for instance, Chase Young had one quarterback hurry, one tackle for a loss. Peyton Turner's the one that came up with the sack, and he forced a fumble. Then Nathan Shepard, I don't know, just grabbed the ball. He didn't fall on it. But, if you look at it and you bring up Tom Brady, and it's obviously that's the same thing with the Ravens. The Ravens aren't going to get any credit until they do something in the postseason.
They got to get to the big game.
Yeah, who's better than the Ravens in the regular season in significant games? They're the team to beat. But until they do it in the postseason, now when you say Tom Brady and the Bucks, look how many times this happened in Tom Brady's career. You remember when Dennis Allen was in charge of the defense? You remember we beat him 9-0? If anybody said the final score between the Saints and Tampa Bay in Tampa, 9-0. Tom Brady hated to play the Saints defense.
He said that on the broadcast in week two.
We'd give him the business.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree with we don't have the right defense. Now, it has to be also how you close out games. Because, look, the Eagles didn't need to kick a field goal.
They needed a touchdown.
A touchdown, and you cannot let that happen. Now, with a Debo, you cannot have that penalty. You're too handsy, whatever, with the interference. But the Falcons knew that, the chess match, a double move. And then he ended up getting the penalty there. And I just knew their kicker wasn't going to miss it. But you cannot say that we're not amongst the best defensively. I think we are. But, again, how you close out games, are you going to be judged that way? I mean, the last 2 weeks, the proof's in the pudding. The defense, as well as they played throughout the game, is that we need one more stop. Against the Eagles in Atlanta, we couldn't do it.
Look at this game. How many times did they throw the football in Marshawn Lattimore's direction?
No, they went
after Debo.
Yeah, they go after Debo, and like Coach Allen, Dennis Allen said, when it's crunch time, that's where they wanted to go. They wanted to attack him over there, and Debo's a hands-on physical cornerback. It's just the way he plays, aggressiveness. But if you look at Debo's pass interference on Mooney, the Tulane receiver for the Falcons, was the 6th penalty called on him in 2024.
Mm.
3 of them came against the Falcons, but 2 of the flags on a Debo, it was pass interference. In both cases, Atlanta just declined the penalty because the receivers made the catches anyway. Debo, they're going to keep going after him in those crunch situations because they think he's going to be undisciplined and get a penalty. And
it goes to show how much they have respect for Lattimore.
Yeah, no.
As a cover corner.
Yeah.
Oh, people say, oh, get rid of him. He ain't that good. He is injured a lot, but, man, when he's healthy, he is one hell of a player. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Nobody's here in the 5 o'clock hour, but he came early. We're trying to get him off from Silver Slipper early. Dave Hilbert from the Silver Slipper. Dave, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Who that?
Okay, we old enough. We've seen some crazy games between Saints Falcons, and this one writes another chapter in the book.
Yeah, it was. It was just, right off the bat, they score, with the missed kickoff, with the punt. It was just, it was heart-wrenching. And then the guy, he kicks his 59-yard field goal. He's only
the longest 50. Of his career.
Oh, man, it was, yeah.
And he did it with a little room to spare.
But, like Bobby said, we're going to guarantee to win next time, because to tie the series back.
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, because, look, in the regular season, we played 110 times, and it's 55-55. You're talking about a sample size. Now, think about that. That it just shows you the parity, again, in the NFL. Do you know, I want to say the number is 14. You know, there's 32 teams and not quite half. 14 teams are 2-2. The NFL loves this. Oh, then you're on a roller coaster. Now, the Saints fans, we don't like it. We want to be 3-1 or 4-0, but it is what it is. It is what your record is, says. You can't sugarcoat it, and I even said this, and that's 500, that I said this in training camp in early August. Can we be, after six games, I looked at strength of schedule. I didn't know the Cowgirls would suck that bad. But anyway, I thought, can we be 3-3? I was like, I'm still going to be encouraged. If we could be 3-3, but we had an opportunity considering, because you're always going to lose a game that you shouldn't lose, like we lost to the Eagles and the Falcons, and then it might be a team. How in the hell we lost to them? Like, we didn't play well from the get-go. So you never know. But when I look at right now, is that I can tell you I'm really going to be discouraged if we'd be 2-4. You got to be Tampa Bay. I'm telling you. You look at the division, and we had a chance to start out 3-0, and Mike, and if you beat Tampa Bay, we're all right. We're hanging. We're like 2-1. But that's why you might want to beat the world champs. You might want to beat the Chiefs. But I'm telling you, that Tampa Bay game, that's like a playoff game in October.
Yeah, very much so. Dave, tell everybody what's happening here at the Silver Slipper.
Well, first, a big shout-out to Donna from Diamond Head. She won the Ford Ranger, and she's down at the dealership picking it up right now.
Finally, somebody from Mississippi
Somebody
won.
It's the first
Diamond. Normally, it's somebody from St. Tammany or
Donna from Diamond Head. And it's our first big Diamond Head winner, so congratulations to her.
That's awesome.
That's great. And then, of course, next week is a big week for Cruising the Coast. We'll have Nick Perkins, Elvis impersonator extraordinaire, here Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We'll give away that Harley Davidson next Thursday. So it's going to be a great thing. And
still giving them tumblers out?
Yeah, no, tumblers are done. It'll be done at midnight tonight. But we got a great looking, a plush throw blanket that you can curl up on the couch with. That's be our gift of the month for October.
With that cozy blanket?
Cozy blanket, man. And it's,
Bob would want that.
And then I also...
Wait. To use that blanket, we got to have a cold front come through. it's fall. I'm ready. Aren't y'all all ready for a cold front to come through where you got to put on a sweater?
You got your cold front last week. It cooled off a little bit. That's close enough.
No, it's like I want it to be cold or cool throughout the day, not just when you wake up in the morning. In the afternoon. Damn,
you're asking for way too much.
No, we're in October, and it's like all of a sudden, we're just starting to kick that, and it's like, man, at the end of the day, it's still 90 degrees.
Bobby, we'll give you one, and you can wrap it up for JoJo for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. No. I will give that.
Yeah. that part of it.
And we're giving away, starting tomorrow night, every Sunday through Thursday at 7 p.m., we're giving away a 50-inch smart TV.
Also, too, you have the squares up for the Monday night game.
And we're going to do the there's a lot of doubleheaders on Mondays this year. We are going to do the games that have the 7:15 kickoff.
So you got Seattle, Detroit. Yeah,
that's
right now.
Exactly
now,
that, right.
And that's the real game. The other game is kind of like garbage.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It is the NFL, but with Mike, the Titans and the Dolphins?
I just did a little pregame for the Titans. Come on. The Titans, if you have any shot here, you're playing the Dolphins with Tyler Thompson and crew at quarterback. Now, they got weapons, but, you know, again, no Tua, and it goes to show this next man up don't apply. They're not very good at the quarterback position once Tua gets taken out of the mix here. And I thought Tua played well last year. I thought he played well. He wasn't an elite player, but he played well. And he was basically injury-free for the first time.
The only thing, and I think Tua's a good Christian man, but to me he sounded kind of soft and not football-like when all of a sudden he's calling the Vikings defensive coordinator out, that he was, like, mean to me. Mike, I can't think of his name now. He was with
Brian Flores.
Brian Flores, I said, I don't know. That's the kind of coaches I always had. You think Jim Moore was ever nice to me?
Here's my thing. For Tua, didn't he play for Nick Saban?
Yeah, I mean, no.
I didn't quite get that part.
No, when I heard that interview, and it was like, okay, he got his money, and then now he's going to throw Brian Flores under the bus. And all I know is the Vikings are kicking ass, and the defense is kicking ass. So I think Brian Flores knows what he's doing.
The only thing with Brian, and it's no secret, Brian wanted Justin Herbert at quarterback instead of Tua. But the owner wanted Tua. And so guess what? When the boss say, that's who you're going to pick, that's who you're going to pick.
I think the majority of football people, now it's all hindsight, would take Justin Herbert over Tua.
I think all of them would.
Because just look at his physical stature and stuff. So, that's great statement there. But, you know, Tua, who knows, dealing with concussions and all that. And he'll want to come back to try and, I guess, maximize.
I think he'll try again.
Well, he has to maximize that earning ability of his future generations and his family. I mean, you could be the sacrificed child. You might think that's brutal to say that, but I'm telling you, you don't want to quit. You want them to kick you out, so they still got to pay you. I'm telling you, all of a sudden, if you just quit and give up the ghost, man, you might lose like $50, $100 million. Say, hell no. I'm playing.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, you like the hero to your family.
Okay. Think about it. If you're playing in today's money, and I know your elbow was shot at the end, would you have come back and played for Carolina that 1 year that they wanted you to come back?
In hindsight, yeah, I should have humbled myself instead of letting my ego get involved and take the damn $1 million. I was like, I'm cheating the game and all that. I can't even throw it past like 50 yards. The last year I played, I'm telling you, I couldn't throw the ball. I think I had to step in, throw it about 52 yards, and I still threw 24 touchdowns because I just knew where to go with the ball. And Mike, I told you that story. Dave, at the beginning of the game, so the cornerbacks wouldn't squat and cheat, I would just throw a go route. I knew it wasn't going to be complete. And so I said, I'm smarter than them cornerbacks and all that. So I would just throw a deep ball to get them on their heels, and then I would throw underneath stuff all after that. Like a curl route.
So you're trying to get the safety to cheat on the short stuff.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, it's like, man, I wish I would have known – like 10 years ago, what I know now. You know how it's like, that's what made Peyton Manning so special? That Peyton Manning, when he was young, knew like it would be almost a 10-year NFL veteran. You understand that concept? Like, in other words, he has all this experience before he even actually played and could understand how to attack a defense.
Because people say, how could Brady play at that level at his age? Knew what to do, and he had never really, he suffered the one big knee injury, but he had really never had a major arm injury or shoulder injury.
You know who's a poor man right now? Cam Newton, he's a beast. Talk about a man, but he can't freaking throw. Anthony Richardson, he wasn't even 50% in the SEC. How he's going to do anything with the Colts now? And then he runs and he gets hurt again. He might be worse than RG3, Mike, when ends up when all said and done.
Man, up close and personal, he is a big man like Cam Newton.
No, without
I mean,
a doubt.
He's built like a tight end.
But Cam was MVP in the league and went to the Super Bowl. Anthony Richardson ain't taking the damn Colts to no Super Bowl.
I don't think so. Dave, tell everybody what's happening here. Finish it off at the Slipper. Number one buffet.
Number one buffet, number one steakhouse. And next Thursday night, giving away that Harley Davidson. Cruising the coast.
Cruise on the coast, right?
Exactly right. Cars will be coming in this Sunday.
Come on down to the Silver Slipper.
Come on down.
Thank you, Dave. We appreciate it. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Finishing up here in our number one of the Second Guess show, Mike DeTeo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. We'll be here until 6:30 tonight. And then at 6:30, we'll throw it to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss will be the host. And he'll have on with him Saints head coach Dennis Allen. His guest tonight will be Saints wide receiver coach Keith Williams. And then right after that, right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app, Seattle Seahawks undefeated playing the Detroit Lions. The Lions will not have their starting center tonight.
Well, and Seattle got a defense, Mike. No, they got the Seahawks.
Well, McDonald's done a good job there.
Think about this. The Seahawks are under the radar. You know why? Because it's like a different country. It's
like in Siberia of the NFL.
Yeah, it's way in the Northwest and stuff. And then, post Pete Carroll. Well, you know who? Geno Smith has done unbelievable for them.
Played like he did 2 years ago. Yeah. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this news break on the Big 870.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.